The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's game time. Join Anthony Herron for the Game Plan. We'll discuss the top stories of the week in the world of sports and entertainment. And really, whatever else Big Ant feels like talking about. Now, here's your host, Anthony Herron. Get down, get
down. America, what's up? For the better part of the next hour, I am your voice. This is the Game Plan with Anthony Herron. Coming to you live from the Mission Design Studio, and it is here. We've waited since the fall began, and the moment has finally come. Months of blood, sweat, tears, patience, pain, hope. Everything has led us to this moment. There's betting lines, there's leading men, there's media scrutiny, women in tight outfits. Everything you could hope for is here, now. And now that the time has come, we're going to finally get some answers. When it comes down to it, though, I'm wondering, are we really going to have a winner? After all this, will there really be a victor and a loser? And, of course, I'm talking about tonight's season premiere of Lost. I'm assuming many of you may have thought I was referring to the Super Bowl coming up this Sunday. Now, we got five more days. We've already been talking about the Super Bowl for over a week at this point. There's going to be plenty of Super Bowl happening. But for just a bit of this show, we're going to get some Lost action happening, too. That's really my one television show that I claim is Lost. A lot of other shows on TV, I glance here, glance there. You know, I'm not a big reality TV guy. Other than watching sports programming, Lost is about the only actual television series that I've consistently tuned in for in recent years. And tonight begins the final season of what I believe is one of the better shows in this current generation of television. And when it comes down to it, there's so many questions that are still out there. You know, who's Kate going to choose between Jack and Sawyer? You know, who's dead or alive coming off of last season? What else is out there? Richard Alpert, this guy that I imagine a lot of you watch Lost. For those of you that are more casual viewers, maybe Richard Alpert, the guy that never ages. If you hear Lost fans refer to Richard Alpert, that guy. Got to figure out at some point in these last 16 episodes what the deal is with him. And then who are the good guys and the bad guys? Because we just still don't know. There's so much mystery in Lost, and there is no way that they can answer every single unanswered question that's come up during the run of the show. I'm under the impression that the producers have said they're going to answer everything, but I don't know how. Where is this island? What is it? But I'm starting off with Lost just because I am excited about that. There's not a lot of television programming that I get excited about. Lost would be one of them. There seems to be two schools of TV viewer, if you will, because I've had a lot of friends and teammates over the years. Some of them fall into the 24 category. And then some of the other ones, like me, fall into the Lost category. You know, 24, you got your adrenaline, Jack Bauer. He's got 24 hours to save the day every single season. Then you've got your Lost viewers, maybe more left-brain thinkers, you know, people who really want to plot and figure out intricate webs and whatnot. That's more what Lost is. There's some adrenaline there, and there's some passion and whatnot, but not like 24. So I'm looking forward to that. So today's poll question that I'll give to you, and you can, as always, email me at bigantnow@live.com. I'm not going the sports route today, bigantnow@live.com. For all you Lost viewers out there, in honor of the season premiere of the final season of Lost on ABC, go ahead, shoot me any thoughts, any questions, any predictions you have on what's going to take place during this final season? You know, maybe tonight's show, we can start with that, or just throughout the season, what your expectations are on Lost. That's what I'm going to have out there for the poll question tonight. Looking forward to that. But, of course, the lecture at hand does revolve around the Super Bowl. They had media day going today, and both teams got out there. The rain is becoming a bit of a storyline down there in Miami, and it's been that way the last couple of times. And you know Peyton Manning, when he rolled out of bed this morning, he just looked out the window and said, "You got to be kidding me," because he was here just 4 years ago as the quarterback, taking on the Chicago Bears. He got that first ring under his belt with the victory there, but terrible conditions for a passing offense. Now, back then, with the combination of Joseph Addai and Dominic Rhodes, they were able to, you know, really have a dominant run effort, and that's the way their team was shaped back then. Now, a lot of the offensive lineup as far as the linemen, obviously the quarterback, the tight end, you have Reggie Wayne as far as the wide receivers, a lot of them are the same. But when it comes down to it, the backfield, I don't know, for whatever reason, even though Dominic Rhodes is the only guy missing from the backfield of the Indianapolis Colts, I don't know, it's just the running attack hasn't been the same this year. And so if the conditions are going to be a little bit muggy, a little bit rainy, then that question comes up. Does that play into the hands of the New Orleans Saints, who are now, I believe the betting line at this point is a 5-point underdog? But a guy that knows all about Super Bowl atmosphere is going to be my guest on the show today, Mr. Kevin Casper. He won a Super Bowl ring with the New England Patriots in their last championship that they had years back. He was on that team. He's got his big ring. Likes to sport it proudly every once in a while, which I most certainly would if I was him too. But a good friend of mine, Iowa Hawkeye, NFL veteran, Super Bowl champ, and that is most certainly something that they can't take away from him. So I'm going to talk to Kevin about this time, you know, Super Bowl week. He was with that Patriots team. What's it like, the media frenzy, the practice schedule, everything that these guys are going through right now leading in to the biggest game of their lives. And I don't care what Reggie Bush says, how many high school state championships he's won, how many national championship games he played in college. Nothing compares to the worldwide coverage of the Super Bowl, the National Football League title, the Vince Lombardi Trophy. So, going to talk to Casper about that. And also, you know, I'm not going to get as much college talk in today as I normally would, but I will talk to him also just about the process of the guys training for the combine. You know, I'll start off with plenty of NFL and Super Bowl talk with Casper towards the end of our segment. Get into how he prepared for the combine, because he's a guy that, and we can get into it more once I have him on the line, he's going to be here on the LS4 hotline. He'll call in at the half-hour mark in the third segment of the show. But Casper was a guy, he was a walk-on at Iowa, and he was really looked at, you know, until he got to his junior year, didn't really play a lot. Then finally his junior season at Iowa, he had earned a scholarship by then, you know, started putting up good receiving numbers, but was looked at as mainly a possession receiver, got into his senior year, made some bigger plays, and then still had that, you know, that tag. He's a white wide receiver, and, you know, he didn't have a lot of long bombs that he had caught throughout his career, but he was able to erase that tag between the finish of our senior year. We came out the same year out of Iowa. Between the end of our senior year and the time where we showed up at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, Casper got to the Combine, and he literally broke records. He ran an excellent time in the 40. He broke the short shuttle drill, that 5-10-5 that you see the guys running where they're cutting very quickly. He broke that record, you know, vertical jump. I believe it was 43, 44 inches, something along those lines. I mean, he put up outstanding numbers at the NFL Combine. He knows how to get that done, and he has relationships with guys who train and work in that field as well. So I want to talk to him a little bit about that once we get Mr. Casper on the line too. And just as far as some current events, I'm actually going to start up. I was telling you about it, some of the features that I'm going to be doing for the Big Ten Network. I'm going to be leaving town later this week. I'm going to head out to Phoenix, Arizona. And so that's where my first location is going to be in the series, and we're going to call it Big Ten Draft Prep All Access is the name of the series we're going to run. So that'll start airing on the Big Ten Network and some of the nightly shows next week. I'm going to be out in Phoenix, Arizona this week. I'm going to be featuring some of the Big Ten athletes that are there. that Brian Belaga, who left the University of Iowa as a junior this season, declared for the draft. He's looked at as a guy that most certainly should be a top half of the first round guy, possibly even a top 10 pick, just depending on what happens in the coming months. So Brian Belaga is out there in Phoenix. I'll feature him. Eric Decker, one of Minnesota's all-time leading receivers, will be out there. I'll be talking to him. He's rehabbing and recovering from a knee injury. He suffered a knee injury about the midpoint of the season. He's still fighting his way back from that. So we'll check out his rehab process and what he's doing, trying to put himself in the best light as possible with the draft, well, with the combine upcoming, and then trying to solidify his draft position with some of the numbers he's put up throughout his career. So we're going to have a couple of big names out there. And also, you know, we'll take the next few weeks doing that as well. But over the next couple of months, I'll keep you updated on my locations, where I'm going to be, my own little personal Where's Waldo type of experience. Well, I'll make sure that you can follow me on the Big Ten Network, that you sign up for my LexiCast as I do those, just updating everything, all the information that I come across in this process leading up to the NFL draft. So I'm going to check the Quaker Homes inbox over this break. Come back. We'll see if we got any takes on Lost. But as always, we'll come back with a little more football talk as well. So make sure you stay tuned. We're all over the map today on the game plan. Be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Do you know that over 70% of Americans with severe disabilities are unemployed? Are you one of the 2.5 million Americans with epilepsy? If you are, or know someone struggling with these issues, tune in to Disability Matters with Joyce Bender. On the show, Joyce will discuss these issues as well as others. She will have on nationally known guests that will offer helpful insight on disability matters and let you, the listener, call in with your questions and concerns. So if you struggle with a disability or know someone who does, listen to Disability Matters with Joyce Bender. Heard every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time here on VoiceAmerica.com.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for the game plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to the game plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
The Sports Mavericks Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Mavericks Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted, by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Moyer and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
To be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to bigantnow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Herron.
Get down. You heard the man. 888-346. 800-919-1444 is the LS4 hotline. Feel free to give me a call. I'm going to keep the phone lines open this segment here. Got a couple of emails in, one of them being about Lost, which, as I mentioned before, the season premiere taking place tonight. What I want to mention first, though, a co-worker of mine, a guy named Brian Neese, he's the voice of the Tennessee Valley Vipers. Worked with Brian a couple of years while I've been coaching with the Vipers. Now the Alabama Vipers of Arena Football One, still the voice of the team. So, Brian, I just got an email from him right there on the Quaker Homes inbox. Appreciate you listening in. Looking forward to seeing you this upcoming season. But also got an email from Drools. Drools in Huntsville says, Richard Alpert is on the side of good or evil, ? What do you think, Big Ant? Why doesn't he age, ? So, already getting a couple of Lost questions in. Drools wants to know that. Appreciate you emailing me there, Drools. As far as Richard Alpert, he's an enigma to me. The thing I feel certain about, talking about this character from Lost, the guy that doesn't age, he's always been there at the side of Jacob, or being the messenger for Jacob, this all-controlling, omnipotent type of character from Lost who seems to be running everything on the island. Richard seems to be his right-hand man, and it was a mystery at first. The first couple of seasons, you weren't sure. Okay, is Ben running it? Well, no, okay, there's this other guy, Richard. Is Richard running it? And then when it came down to it, we finally discovered after a couple of seasons, there's this other guy that no one ever sees named Jacob, who apparently everyone is answering to, but Richard was the only one with the bat phone to be able to communicate with Jacob. So Richard could communicate directly with Jacob, and then he would tell everyone else what Jacob wanted them to do. Whether or not he is on the side of good or evil is a difficult question for me, and I think it's an even broader question about the show, because that's the great thing about Lost. There's so many situations that come up on there where you can compare it to real life and say, well, how would that affect me in the real world, and what would that real-world situation actually be like? So when you talk about good or evil, it's all about perception. Because I believe that Benjamin Linus thinks that him having the best interests of the island at heart, I believe he thinks that makes him a good guy. But then everyone else on the opposite side of it, you know, the rest of the others, the Dharma Initiative, Charles Widmore, all these other people who can't quite tell, are they heroes, are they villains? I think all of them probably think they got a pretty good case, too. And then, of course, the survivors of Oceanic 815, they're just caught in the middle. Interesting question. I'm not quite sure how to answer that. Why doesn't he age? I have no idea. I mean, it's incredible, and it's been like that from the first time we saw him. We saw him in different time periods over and over again. The guy was never any older. He still isn't. That's what leads me to the thought that it's possible maybe Richard is actually running things. You know, is it like one of those, what was it, The Wizard of Oz, was that the little story where, you know, you thought maybe there was this one figure out there that was really running things, but when it came down to it, that was just fake. You know, there was just some little symbol over here, but then there was actually the man behind the scenes that wasn't taking credit for it that was actually running things. It's possible that Richard is actually the all-powerful being who's controlling things on the island. I don't think that's the case, but who knows. But appreciate the question, Drools, and like I mentioned earlier, Brian Neese, appreciate you emailing in as well. Going to get back into some NFL talk here. Media Day in the Super Bowl. And, of course, the biggest storyline so far has been Dwight Freeney and this ankle. His right ankle, which, I mean, I feel for the guy. Really, I feel for the Colts organization because their best defensive player, you know, they've gotten to this point without Bob Sanders being in the lineup the whole season. They make it to the Super Bowl. They have one of the best starts in NFL history, you know, just next to the Colts, next to the Patriots just a couple of years ago, starting off 14-0, probably could have went 16-0 if they really wanted to. I mean, they performed at such a high level, and then you've got Dwight Freeney at the end of a game that is locked up at that point. They've already virtually got the game won against the Jets in the AFC title game, and then just in some little fluky movement, he hops up into the air, his foot comes down awkwardly as he's knocking Mark Sanchez down on the ground and tears a ligament in his right ankle. Now, the Colts being the Colts, they've handled it well. They haven't expressed a bunch of frustration. They haven't cried about why the football gods have done this to them, because that's not how they operate. They're a football team that rolls with the punches, and they're able to overcome so many things, I believe, based off of the leadership that organization has. And that's why you always see them so even keel. So where everyone else in the media wants to make a big deal out of every little ripple that happens, every little wave that occurs during a football season, the Colts are just steady Eddie, and that's why they've been able to maintain this level of excellence. And so for them, if they can come up with a Super Bowl win here on Sunday, then that's what will cement them as, you know, one of the penultimate franchises in the NFL. You know, they've already been at that point, but really they've just been a step ahead of the Eagles up till now because they won so many games over the decade with only one Super Bowl to show for it. So if coming off the 2009 season they can come up with another Super Bowl, then you can say the Colts are not the Eagles. The Colts are not, you know, comparable to the Atlanta Braves of MLB. The Colts are one of the top franchises in the NFL. And when you look at recent years, the way that they've been dominant against the Patriots in the regular season and also defeating them in postseason play, Peyton Manning has a win streak now going against Tom Brady. Now you ask the question, have the Colts now surpassed the New England Patriots as the top franchise in the National Football League? That doesn't mean that when you just look back and compare over the decade, of course the Patriots have three championships. The Colts would only have two if they win this game. So, looking at the past decade, no. But now, in the present day, are they ahead of the Patriots? I believe there cannot be a case made against that if they win this championship. But getting back to the specifics, the lecture at hand of Dwight Freeney and this right foot, let me speak to you as an old defensive end. Now, I was not a guy with the Dwight Freeney skill set, you know, as far as being a small guy in that 255, 260-pound range who was so explosive upfield, the spin moves coming back. But, of course, I played the position, feel like I played it at a pretty high level in a lot of places. This is going to be a difficult thing for Dwight Freeney to work through. It is his outside foot. He's a right defensive end. They flop sides every once in a while, but he's a right defensive end, and this is his outside foot, his plant leg. As he tries to turn the corner, that's his foot he's using to be able to take the brunt of that weight, the brunt of his explosion when he's working around these offensive tackles. That's the foot he's using. So if there's any hitch in that giddy-up, if that foot isn't moving properly, if it's giving on him, it's not quite as strong as it was, believe me, that will have a huge effect if they play him in that game. You look at it and say, well, how about his spin move? Nope, that's his plant foot for the spin move as well. You plant on the outside foot, you work your way back around, you know, and I won't go through the specifics of how you do a spin move, but he is using the outside foot to make that move and come back inside. So the array, the assortment of moves that you get from Dwight Freeney as a pass rusher, the right foot plays into every single one of them. I believe that there's a big reason. You noticed it even early in the week last week. This was nearly 2 weeks removed from the game when the question started coming up of where he was at physically. And he kind of, you know, he really kind of just slow played it. He said, you know what, I'm not sure what's going to happen. I got to talk to the doctors. We got to see how my rehab goes, the treatment. It's a long time till the game. I hope I'm good. But there has never been one point where I've seen Dwight Freeney say, you know what, no matter what, I'm going to find a way to play in this football game. And that's what you tend to hear most of the players say more often than not when they're in this situation. Even if it's not true, they just want to give off that perception that they're going to be out there just to throw off the opposition's preparation for the game. Freeney hasn't even been willing to do that. So I agree, you know, Warren Sapp, I've heard his take on it a couple of times. I agree with him where I say, you know what, that's probably a pretty good telltale sign that, I don't know, it's going to be tough to expect Dwight Freeney to play in this game. It's a torn ligament in that ankle. Now, if he can play, how effective will he be? That's a whole other issue, but it's not looking good as far as him working his way into the lineup. Now, I'm going to make my pick for the actual game later on in the show, but that's been the big storyline that's come up so far. I don't expect anything very controversial to come up throughout the week here, but we do have several of our hosts that work here on the game plan that are on location there in Miami. Of course, our leader, our program director, Mr. Ray Ellis, he's there. He's on location. He's checking out the activities. They're going to have all the programs from Voice America Sports that are going to be going from on location there. So make sure you tune in to catch Ray's show. Make sure you tune in for Damian Anderson, who's going to be down there as well. We're going to have several of the hosts. Andre Risen is going to be down there. There's going to be events going on throughout the rest of the week. And so tune right back in here to Voice America Sports and get some reports from the guys who've done it, guys who've been in the NFL, who've played the game. They're going to be bringing you the news and the updates on some of the special editions of their shows in the coming days. Me, myself, like I said earlier, I'm going to have to hit the road here and work back with some college football as we move through this process here. But like I said, next segment is going to be Mr. Kevin Casper. He's an NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots. He's got his giant ring that you really can't wear anywhere without everybody taking notice of it. So I'm going to talk to him about the process of when and how he got that ring and what some of the current players are going through here leading up to the big game. And it's two separate situations you're seeing with the two teams. You got the Colts with a lot of players who were experienced, who were on this roster the last time the team was here. And then you've got the New Orleans Saints, kind of the, you know, if you will, the emotional favorite, you know, the national darlings in a way right now because of everything that happened with Hurricane Katrina and Rita just back in 2005 coming off that season. So is the nation rooting for the Saints? That's one question that needs to be asked and answered. But heading into the game, the experience is on the side of the Colts. When you look at it and say the Saints' head coach was an assistant in the Super Bowl back in 2000, and that's really the main Super Bowl experience on the roster that they can lend, or you know that they can look to kind of lend them a hand in preparing for the environment this week. Saints could be in trouble from an experience standpoint, but the man who's got that experience is going to be on the line with me next, Kevin Casper. Be with me here on the game plan, talk about that, and talk about a little combine prep as well. Stay tuned. We'll be coming right back in just a few moments.
To the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for the game plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to the game plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. Perfect time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
We all share similar desires to be loved, to be happy, and to feel well. Your inner journey is here to support you, inspire you, and expand your knowledge of you. Tune in for new insights, meet our guests, get the inspiration you need to create the life you really want. Your Inner Journey with Penny Calcina is about her inner journey and your inner journey and the things that connect us all. Tune in every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time for Your Inner Journey on Seventh Wave Network.
Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, is here for you, the fan, to hear about and discuss the week's top stories in the world of sports. We'll discuss not only the headliners, but you'll hear some of the smaller stories that don't usually make it on the sports wires today. It's a forum for the sports fan, hosted by Joe Cribbs, a three-time Pro Bowler with the Buffalo Bills. Joe is a 10-year pro football veteran, a former Southeastern Conference Most Valuable Player, and a member of the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Discuss the topics with Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Network.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
To be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to BigAntNow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Heron.
All right, we're back to email. BigAntNow@live.com. That is the Quaker Homes inbox, BigAntNow@live.com. Got another email here. Liz in Joliet says, Big Ant, curious who you think will win the big game this weekend. Well, I was actually going to save my pick segment for the last segment of the show, but I will tell you this, Liz, I'll break down both sides of the ball a little bit as we move forward here, as we're expecting a call from Kevin Casper to talk a little bit of Super Bowl, a little bit of combine prep as we move through the second half of the show here. So I will save my pick for the last segment, Liz, but I appreciate you listening in and continue to tune in. You'll certainly hear my pick towards the end of the show. Let's see who else we've got here in the Quaker Homes inbox. Let's see. Corey in Decatur. Man, there's a lot of Decaturs out there. I think we've heard from Corey a couple of times before as well. Corey says, I love Lost. I don't like 24 so much, but Lost is the best show on TV. Sorry to see it go. Love the show, Big Ant. Thank you, Corey. I appreciate that. Email me back and let me know which Decatur you're into. I hear from Decatur, Illinois. I hear from Decatur, Georgia. I hear from Decatur, Alabama. There's a lot of Decatur listeners in different spots around the country, too. It's a crazy little thing, Decatur. I'm popular in Decatur, apparently. That's good to know. All right. To get into just breaking down the matchup here, the two teams that are actually on the field, a little position-by-position kind of thing I'll go through. The quarterbacks, I'll save that for just a moment because we know who the main players are when you look at those two things. But this is the first time since 1993 that you've had two teams, the two number one seeds, the one from each conference meeting in the Super Bowl, and this really seems to be kind of, you know, where everybody just looks at it and says, you know what, this is how it should be. Each team started off 13-0, and of course the Colts went on to be 14-0 before losing their last two regular season games. Saints, on the other hand, lost their last three regular season games. Up until this year, the argument has been made that how you finish the NFL season, no matter how hot a start you get off to, no matter what Pro Bowl-level players you have in the lineup, if you finish on a bad note, if you don't keep that momentum going into the postseason, especially if you're a team that has a bye week in the first week. And so now, say, you know, like the situation the Colts have been in several times in the past few years, where you kind of take your foot off the accelerator the last couple of weeks of the regular season, and then you throw in a bye week starting off the postseason, it's a difficult thing to regain that momentum, to regain that edge, you know, that eye of the tiger, like Rocky lost in Rocky III, where everybody's patting him on the back, and he's got some easy fights, and then he finds out from Mickey where he's all upset, and, you know, Mickey's like, well, you know what, I lined up some bums for you, Rock, and then Rocky thinks, oh, I'm a sham, you know, I'm a fraud, and Mickey was the one. No, Rocky, you were a good fighter. You were a good fighter, but the mental and emotional aspect of football, I had a coach back in high school who used to tell us that football is 90% mental and 10% physical. I don't know if that's so true in high school, but once you get to the higher levels, because in high school, if you're just better than somebody, you can smack them around. I speak from experience with that. Not that I enjoyed smacking people around, but you catch my drift. But once you get, especially to this, to the pinnacle, not just to the NFL, but you're these teams in the postseason, that's where that momentum, that mental aspect of it is huge. These two teams have bucked that trend, both of them. Both Super Bowl participants ended the season on really down notes. And the Saints, when you look at the representative from the NFC, they're the team that once they started off so hot and that national momentum got behind them, it looked like, hey, they could possibly go undefeated, especially because of the fact that the Minnesota Vikings were just nipping away at their heels. With the Colts in the AFC, you kind of knew it was coming the whole time because we saw how Tony Dungy handled that. We knew Jim Caldwell was right there in line with the Dungy way of thinking. So you kind of figured the Colts at some point are going to start resting people. The Saints, we had not seen them in this situation before, so there was still that question mark. But the fact that to lock up home field throughout the postseason, New Orleans needed to continue playing hard. They needed to keep their starters in the game because they only had the one-game lead on Brett Favre and the Vikings. So there was a thought that maybe they could pull it off. You know, in the just flying in the face of the history of the New Orleans Saints franchise, maybe they can be the ones to pull it off. It didn't happen. And so that really, to me personally, you know, just as far as the prediction of who would end up in the Super Bowl, I was thinking Vikings and Colts. I expected the Colts. I thought the Vikings would beat New Orleans. And part of that was because I never fully, you know, I knew they were a good team, but there's something to be said for having been there and done that before. And you look up and down the New Orleans Saints roster, and they don't have those guys on the roster. You know, even with their leader, with their signal caller, Drew Brees. You know, we came out the same year. Drew Brees is now in, what, his ninth year now, man. Or, no, tenth? No. Excuse me, I've been hitting the head a lot. His ninth year. Let me not date myself too much. This would not be my 10th year if I was still in the league. Drew Brees finishing up his ninth year, so he's one of the elder statesmen on the team. You know, he's in the league MVP discussions. He's the guy that everyone looks to lead in that locker room. He's never been on this stage, of course. Reggie Bush is not. Marcus Colston is not. On defense, even sharper, way back when, he's got his one Super Bowl way back from the time he was with Green Bay years ago. Or actually, you know what? He's not quite that old. Excuse me. He doesn't even have a Super Bowl ring. Darren Sharper. So the point I'm making, no one in the Saints lineup can look to it and say, I've done this before. And that tends to be what helps you in the postseason. And then there's a progression where maybe next year New Orleans would step on the scene and get the job done, possibly, or at least be more prepared for it. So I think that's really going to be interesting how that plays out. Who can handle that from New Orleans? Who can manage this stage? Because we know that the folks on the Indianapolis side of it can get that job done. Now, matchup-wise, the difficult thing, and, you know, you look at it and you say every time whether or not the matchup favors which side of the ball, which position, you look at it starting with the guys up front. You got the Colts pass rush versus the Saints pass protection. Can the big guys from Indianapolis get after Drew Brees in the pocket? Now, if there was a healthy Dwight Freeney in the game, I would say there is no doubt about it. They will be able to heat up the pocket. They'll get after Drew Brees. They'll pressure him. Maybe he won't make the turnovers. Maybe he won't have the mistakes that some of the other quarterbacks who may have played in this game, like say there was a Brett Favre, just for instance. If Brett Favre was in this game, then I would say, well, maybe there's a chance of some interceptions being thrown. I believe that Drew Brees will keep that at a minimum, but with the pressure that they were able to put on the pocket, I would have said, you know, they would have gotten off the field on third down. Now without Freeney, because at least there was a yin and yang, you had Freeney on one end, Mathis on the other, occasionally a blitzing fast linebacker, but now with Mathis being there by himself as a pass rusher, now Raheem Brock is a good football player. He's been in the league for a long time. But if he's the one rushing off the right edge with no Freeney in the lineup, you can focus all your attention in the pass protection on making sure that Mathis doesn't even get started. You can put a tight end to his side. You can chip him with a running back coming out of the backfield to make sure he doesn't even get that engine revved up. So I believe without a healthy Freeney, that matchup, I could say it favors the New Orleans Saints. But you look at the next level of it and you say the Indianapolis Colts secondary versus the receivers, skill positions, tight ends from New Orleans. Again, I believe a matchup that favors New Orleans. When you basically look at both teams' offensive sides of the ball, we know they're going to put some points up. You've got Jeremy Shockey at tight end. You've got Marcus Colston on the outside. Reggie Bush, who they can motion out of the backfield and put him in the slot. There's so many different weapons. Robert Meacham, Devery Henderson, that get used effectively, and the ball gets spread around so much by Drew Brees at quarterback that it's really going to be tough for anyone to stop them. But the Colts, being one of the better defenses that New Orleans has faced this year, you know, schematically, they were going to try to have something in place. They don't play that Tampa 2. They're not Tony Dungy ball anymore. They are more aggressive as a defense. But, again, the X factor is not having Freeney in the lineup. With Drew Brees, if he's able to pat the ball a couple of times, if he doesn't like read one or read two, if he can go to read three, or if he can check down to a safety valve like a Reggie Bush on the backside, it is so difficult to be able to stop an offense like that that can have weapons all over the field. And then if you add in giving someone as deadly as Drew Brees in the pocket, giving him time to deliver the football, that advantage that I believe really already that matchup favored the Saints anyway, but without a pass rusher like Freeney out there, that tips even more in their favor. And now that leads me more to the thought of a possible shootout in this ball game, because I wasn't expecting a blowout either way. And so the betting line getting higher throughout last week, that surprised me. I disagreed with it. But now, especially having Freeney out of the lineup, I would say that I believe the betting line is going to continue to diminish, because this is what happens as we get closer to game time and things start to tighten up a bit anyway. But I was never on, you know, the wave of people thinking the Colts were going to have an easy game here. But whether or not it tips enough in the New Orleans favor on the final scoreboard, I will get into that and talk a little bit more about the Saints part. I mean, the Colts part of the offensive matchup once we come back from this next break. And then that will lead me in to my pick, and I'll actually give you a score as well. For whatever reason, I've pat myself on the back a bit. I tend to be pretty good at this, so the Swami better look out. I'm going to give you the final score of the game, who the victor is going to be, and how it will come about after we take this next short timeout. Keep listening. If you're a betting man, make sure you stay tuned, because I'm going to tell you how this game is going to finish up. Super Sunday, and I'll read a couple more lost emails as soon as we come back.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for the game plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to the game plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
Are you ready for a fresh, candid, and entertaining look at sports? It's time for a radio show that doesn't tackle sports like everyone else. Join former NFL player Nick Murphy for Murphy's Law. Hear it directly from your favorite pro and collegiate athletes, coaches, and media personalities as they dissect what's going on in the world of sports. It's sports, entertainment, and fun, and it's all part of Murphy's Law. Tune in Friday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot. Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
To be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to BigAntNow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Herron. Get down.
We are back for the final segment of the game plan here on not only Super Sunday coming up in a few days, but Super Tuesday as it sits with the lost viewers out there. And I believe in just a moment, we only got a few short minutes left in this final segment, but I believe that's the staff has been efforting that, the Voice of America staff, as far as getting Kevin Casper on the line. I did still want to get a... out there in the workout facilities in the background. You on the line there, Kevin? Hey, Kevin, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, Casper, how's it going? Okay, we got Kevin Casper on the line. I know you got to get going. I won't keep you long. This is Kevin Casper. I plugged it throughout the show. You guys know who he is. We'll get right into it. Super Bowl week, how would you describe that experience from a player's perspective with the media, with the game coming up, biggest moment of your life? How would you describe that to folks listening?
Pretty much just crazy. I mean, it was crazy every day going to practice. We got, you know, armored trucks, you know, bulletproof trucks taking us to practice with two helicopters above us, and all the media, all the hype. You know, Jay Leno sending all his guys out for the media thing, and I mean, it was just crazy fun. One of those experiences that you're glad as a football player. You want to, you know, someday maybe make it to that point, and it was one of those things that was kind of just surreal, fun, you know, just kind of all the above exciting.
And so you were part of that team with the New England Patriots the last time they actually did win a Super Bowl championship. Is it a flash for you at this point? I mean, can you actually kind of, you know, crystallize some memories that took place throughout that week, or did it all just whip by so fast that you can't even really quite tell what happened?
You know, it kind of did just fly by. I was trying to take advantage of every moment there. It was really neat. My parents, my wife, my brothers, they were down there. They had a lot of fun. I think the coolest thing for me, the biggest experience, the most fun I had, as soon as we won, just immediately, a minute after the game, my family was on the field, my wife was on the field. We are celebrating with the confetti falling down and the coaches talking, the Lombardi Trophy, taking pictures. And then probably the coolest part is about a few hours after the game, guy Snoop Dogg, he threw us a party. So it was fun watching my dad dance around and all the coaches. And it was just a fun time. It was finally time to relax and all the practice, all the preparation, and, you know, the studying the film and doing all that stuff and taking advantage of just winning and having fun. And then afterwards, just kind of relaxing and enjoying ourselves with the teammates and the coaches. And it was just a really, really neat, cool experience.
Well, I've seen your father dance, so I know he was over there getting down. I can't who was looking at him.
Yeah, he was having fun. He thought he looked pretty good, though. That's all that matters.
I'm interested to get your take on this before I let you go, because a big part of the question this week is about Peyton Manning and whether or not he needs this Super Bowl victory to kind of cement his legacy. You played with Tom Brady. You know, he already had a couple of rings leading into that Super Bowl you were a part of with them. How would you view that, getting to see Brady go through it, trying to get another ring, kind of cementing his legacy? How do you view Peyton Manning's situation this week?
You know, obviously he's one of the best quarterbacks to ever play. He kind of got over the hump by winning that one Super Bowl, and that was a big deal because no matter what, even the Dan Marino said, hey, you know, he played 13 years but no ring, and Peyton already accomplished that, and he's been to the Pro Bowls and been the top quarterback, and now just to solidify that, get one more ring under his belt, I mean, how can you say anything but he's one of the best of all time? And then who knows, by the time he leaves the game, I have a feeling he'll be playing till he's around Brett Favre's age. But you just never know. I think that he's going to be, you know, all said and done, he's probably going to be, you know, one of the best, or if not the best quarterback to ever play the game. I mean, you got, obviously, Tom Brady, same situation, an unbelievable quarterback. And now Peyton getting the second ring would be huge for him.
Now, I know you never miss a big game when it's on the air. You're going to be watching this Sunday. What's your pick? Who you got?
Oh, man, it's hard. It's hard to, you know, Bob Sanders and Dallas Clark, you know, you got the Iowa connections over there. And I know Drew Brees, and he's a great person, a great player. And I don't know. I'd have to go with the Colts because I just think, you know, it's hard to go against Peyton Manning. But it's going to be a tough – I think it's going to be a tough game, high-scoring game. And, you know, but it's just hard to say, you know, that Peyton Manning's going to lose this big of a game. So, you know, I'd have to say the Colts would probably end up edging down and winning this game.
And there you have it from the mouth of Kevin Casper, Super Bowl champ with the New England Patriots from a few years ago. He says he's picking the Colts. So, Mr. Casper, I will let you go. I appreciate you getting on the line here with me. But We'll get you back maybe a few weeks from now and talk about some combine prep, because we're going to be traveling around. I've told you about it with the Big Ten Network, just featuring athletes. And I think your story is really interesting, kind of the jump you made in your perception as an athlete by the success you had at the combine. So I'd love to get you back on to talk about that.
I'd love to be on there. Combine's a big situation, big thing that can kind of make or break a player. So, you know, I'd definitely like to talk about that too.
All right. That's Kevin Casper. Appreciate you joining me, Casper, right here on the Game Plan. We'll get him back on in a few weeks. Talk a little bit about the combine. So I told you, folks, I am going to make my pick here. I'll make it a little bit more brief since we're running into the last few minutes of the show. Basically, the way I see this matchup breaking down between the two teams, obviously both offenses are very high-powered. Perception-wise, it's viewed as the Indianapolis Colts maybe having the more explosive offense out here. Really, when you look at it, the fact that they can both throw the ball at a high level and have one of the top rushing offenses in the NFL, I would say the offensive advantage actually goes to New Orleans. But when you look at it, the quarterback is where I believe if you put Peyton Manning on the field against anyone, I have a hard time picking anyone over Peyton Manning as far as the quarterbacks who will decide this contest. So the way I see this game playing out, I believe that they will be able to the Saints being they, will be able to establish the run just a bit in the first half. That will lead them to a halftime lead. I think it is still going to be a high-scoring affair, even more so before Dwight Freeney went out of the lineup. I think this is going to make the Colts have to get into just a bit more of shootout kind of mode. So I believe the Saints will have a lead going into the half. I believe it's going to be a 17-14 New Orleans lead at the half. We're going to have another situation where there's a late first-half touchdown that kind of swings the balance in the game. Saints will have a small lead, though. Once it gets into the second half, Peyton Manning will be doing his Peyton Manning thing, where he laid in the weeds in the first half, didn't make any big mistakes, no matter how much they blitzed him in New Orleans, no matter how many times Darren Sharper came and hit him from the safety position, how Will Smith is able to get some heat on him in the pocket. They will go in, make a few halftime adjustments, come out in the second half. They'll be protecting him better because this offense, I've played against it from Indianapolis, this offense, it's so difficult to not only prepare for, but to keep defensive momentum against, because Indianapolis plays the game at their tempo on such a consistent basis. Sometimes they're fast breaking, sometimes they slow it down, but they do such a good job keeping you off balance as a defender that it's tough to keep up with them as the game wears on, especially with Peyton Manning calling the signal. So you can probably tell throughout the show, and I clued in a little bit last week, my pick, I believe the Indianapolis Colts are going to win the Super Bowl. Peyton Manning will, again, be the MVP of this game. Rain, sleet, or shine, I do believe he's going to have a big day, and the offense is going to be a big reason why. They're going to have trouble slowing down New Orleans. So, final score, I believe, from New Orleans will be 34-24. So, I guess I can tell you to go ahead and bet the under if it's in that 70-point range like it was at one point. Bet the under, but the Colts are going to come home with the Super Bowl crown. So that's my pick. I'm going to be back with you next Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern, hosting the Game Plan. And yet again, I'll be on the road, come to you from on location down in Florida. Have a little draft prep coming at you. Make sure you stay tuned. Thanks for listening. Keep doing your thing, America. Do it better.
That's all we have time for this week. Join Anthony Big Ant Heron again next week for another edition of The Game Plan. Tune in Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks
again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.